First of all, I want to thank Amy and Harry and the kids for letting us have the schuss of learning here in the house. When you learn in the house, it fills the house with kedusha. In the house where there's already so much kedusha, the more you add, the more beautiful the house will become. So it's a wonderful thing for you to open up your house to us, and really appreciate it. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us, Baruch Hashem, or Bez Hashem, will be giving us wonderful gifts, our children. And even when you buy something in the store, it comes with instructions, you know. So the children have come with instructions also. And the instructions are the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim, and all the Svarim of all the generations of how to bring up the children. There's the aspect of the chinuch, the emotional, and hashkafa, and the philosophical, and so on. And all of us are agonizing, I'm sure, all the time, and thinking, what should we say? What should we do? How can we try to bring up better children? And then there's the aspect of the halacha. And the halachas are not easy, because there's no one section of Shulchan Aruch that deals with the halachas of children. There is no section of Jewish law that deals with that subject. It's a matter of really going through all different areas and trying to put together some basic guidelines. And they're very, very crucial, very important. And we need to go through some basic areas of halacha. The general order that I'm going to follow, following this little introduction, we're going to talk about a specific subject that needs to be addressed immediately. We're going to basically be dealing with four areas. That's the physical life of the child on Shabbos and Yom Tov, meaning things that need attention, whether it has to do with bathing, caring for medical needs, and so on. The physical life of the child. Then we're going to deal with the clothing of the child on Shabbos, Yom Tov, the clothing, meaning that if any of you have children, whoever get their clothing dirty or anything like that, so, or other things dirty. So we'll deal with the subject of the clothing of the children. We're going to deal with the food of the children, the preparation of food, especially when it comes to infants, when it comes to little babies. So there are many, many halachas regarding the preparation of the food. And then the most fun thing is we're going to deal with games and halacha. The areas of games. There are many, many shalos in halacha. Now, one of the things when you're learning Hilchos Shabbos, you know, you always feel that you're hearing time after time, this is us, or, oh, by the way, you didn't think this was us, and now it's us. You know, you thought you could do this, you can't do it. And it's uncomfortable. And the same thing, that's why in yeshiva, in school, with the kids, when you learn Hilchos Shabbos, so with them, with the boys, I spend a great deal of time. You know, you develop certain ideas, and there's an appreciation for the concepts. And then when you have an appreciation for the concepts, it's so fascinating to see how halacha works. But when it's just a halacha shiur, like you come down, you have to get some halacha down, so all it's going to sound like is, well, this is us, this is us, this is us, this is mutter. Like, you know, they're like, usually there's like one mutter, one permitted thing for every 10 that are us. So it has that, you know, there is that feeling that when you learn Hilchos Shabbos, sometimes you have that feeling that, oh boy, you know, this is something I didn't know, and whatever. Listen, our job in life is to learn, and I want to tell you something. What we're going to be discussing are not any chumras at all. These are no stringencies. And if it is a stringency, if it's something which is not the norm in halacha, it's not mainstream, I will tell you that there's a certain stricter way that some people do it. You don't have to. If you'd like to, you can. If you don't want to, it's certainly acceptable halacha not to. So I will make those distinctions when they apply. Otherwise, we have to be careful not to fool ourselves. Also, if there were enough time, we would do sources inside and study it properly in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Berurah, in the appropriate poskim, and so on. That's something, of course, that would require a great deal of time. So we can't have the luxury of doing that. Instead, I'll be going through certain halachas. Some of them I'll discuss more from the basic underpinnings of the halacha. Mostly we'll go through different points. At the end of each area, maybe there'll be time for a minute or two for questions, or at the end of each share, depending if what you feel more comfortable with. But it wouldn't be wise to interrupt in the middle of each point with a question or a comment, because then we won't be able to get anywhere. So at the end, there'll be short little like 10, 15 minute segments, 20 minute segments, and then a question or two, and then right, then we'll go on. The first area that I want to talk about before we get to those four areas is something that is so widely misunderstood and really needs to be addressed. And it's the subject of involving children, even little ones, in Chil Shabbos and Chil Yom Tov for our purposes. And this is something that I found in general is so misunderstood. So we're going to go through this halacha carefully. The din is, as it's explained in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Lamed Dalet, The halacha is that a katan, a child who is mechalal Shabbos, letzarech Yisrael, that means that if a child, if one sees that a child is doing something on Shabbos for the family, even if the child derives some benefit from that. In other words, the child will go around turning on lights. The child will go on turning on things for the family. The din in Shulchan Aruch is that the adults must be mochebo. That means the adults must protest and must tell the child that he or she is not allowed to do that. And this, by the way, is only really applicable when the child has reached the age of chinuch. When the child has already reached the age to understand. If the child understands at a younger age, you should explain, listen, sweetheart, that's not something you should do. Abanima don't want you to on Shabbos, but only from the time that a child understands. If a child is below the age of chinuch, then according to the halacha, even though it's an issur from the Torah, even though it's something which is forbidden, an act that is forbidden from the Torah that the child is engaging in, below the age of chinuch. Now, what that age is exactly, it's not clear. It really depends on the child. It could be anywhere from 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, depending on the child, the maturity of the child. If it's an issur d'oraisa, if the child is above that age, is the age of understanding, then the parent is obligated to talk to the child about, to warn the child not to do it. If the child is very, very small, and it wouldn't make a difference at that point, then one is not obligated. If the child is not, lo higiyah l'chinuch. Therefore, if we're dealing with an issur d'rabbanan, and I'll give you some examples of this, something is prohibited from the rabbanan, the chiyuv, even on a child who is above chinuch, meaning even a child who is of age, if the prohibition is not a Torah prohibition, it's not always easy to know, but if it's a d'rabbanan prohibition, if it's something which is rabbinic, which, by the way, according to almost all authorities, electricity, for instance, is rabbinic. According to almost all authorities, the Chazon Ish, the famous Chazon Ish, he held that turning on that creating an electric current was forbidden from the Torah. But almost all authorities held it was derabbanan. So, with something that is a derabbanan, if one sees a child that is over on an issur derabbanan, even if the child is of age, then according to the strict halacha, people who see this are not obligated to take the child away from that activity, but the poskim say the father or the parent who's, if there's a father available, or if not, the mother should certainly go and explain it to the child. That is the halacha. Now, where does this come from? What's the source of all of this? The source of this is in the Torah. The Torah says, "Lo sasa kol melacha ata vincha vitacha." The Torah has a special prohibition when it comes to Shabbos that you shouldn't do any work, and the Torah specifies you and your son, your daughter, and your wife, and so on. So the Torah specifies, "Ata uvincha uvitacha." Now the Ramban on the Chumash, he explains based upon a mechilta that a child, afilu shelo higi lechinuch, a child, even if the child has not reached chinuch, if this child, that age, meaning that the child has not reached that age, if the child is doing melacha if the child is doing some activity on Shabbos for the sake of the father, for the sake of the mother, if a child is doing that activity, so the Ramban explains that according to this pasuk in the Torah, "Losasa kol melacha ata uvincha vitacha," you shouldn't do any work on Shabbos, you or your son or your daughter. The Torah, according to Ramban, the Torah obligates the parent to be moche, to protest. Because the Torah says that you have the responsibility to see to it that your son and your daughter do not do work on Shabbos. Just like you're not allowed to do work on Shabbos, the parent is responsible that the children don't do any work on Shabbos. And here we have an important comment from the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Beis writes, he brings a Magen Avraham, that the Magen Avraham says that this obligation, this responsibility is only upon the father, not upon the mother. The Magen Avraham wrote that this responsibility is only upon the father and not upon the mother. Why would that be? Because according to the Minchas Chinuch, a mother is not obligated in the education of her children. She's not obligated, midoraisa, she's not commanded to educate her children. That's the responsibility of the father. So the Magen Avraham holds that this law of the Torah to protest if a child is doing something on Shabbos, that's only a law that applies to the father. However, the Minchas Chinuch himself disagrees with this, and so do many other poskim, and they point out that although that might be true when it comes to other areas of halacha regarding the laws of Shabbos, this is a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos where the Torah specifies, "Lo sasa kol melacha ata uvincha vitacha," where the Torah specifies the family, and therefore the Minchas Chinuch says that this is not a halacha, there's not a law in the laws of education. It's true that a woman is exempt from educating teaching Torah to the children is exempt. It doesn't mean she can't. It's a tremendous mitzvah, but she's not obligated to. That's true. But this halacha of preventing children from being mechal Shabbos, that's not a halacha in educating. According to the Minchas Chinuch, it's a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. It's a special law in the laws of Shabbos, because the Torah says, don't do any work. In other words, there's a special din of Shmira Shabbos, of observing Shabbos, that applies to the family as a unit. Everyone in the family is responsible to see to it that Shabbos is being kept. So the Minchas Chinuch says this does not fit into the normal regulations, the rules or regulations of a mother being obligated and obligated to teach a child. This is a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, that if a mother sees a child doing something and the child understands, is old enough to understand, that the mother has to protest, the mother has to tell the child that you can't do that. Now this is all a case when a child goes on his or her own to turn on the light, or to turn something else on, or to draw a color in the coloring book. That's what we've been talking about until now. However, it's obvious, and this is something which is widely misunderstood, that it's also for any person, even to tell even a small little child, even an infant, that's old enough just to understand a little bit, like to pick up the baby, and to say, hey, sweetie pie, you see that nice little switch? Right? That the poskim say that it is forbidden to tell any Jewish child, regardless of age, to instruct a child to be Mechal Shabbos, is completely forbidden. All we were talking about until now was that the child's going on his or her own. Do you have to say anything? So then we make a distinction. If the child's old enough to understand, you must. If the child doesn't understand, then you don't have to. If it's a drabon and if it's rabbinic, then you can be more lenient with any child. However, but when it comes to the question of a parent telling a child, or any Jew telling a child to turn on something on Shabbos or Mechal Shabbos, that's, according to all the poskim, that's absolutely forbidden, and that's learned out from a separate verse which says Lo Sochlum. Lo Sochlum means that the Torah has forbidden us to give something that's not kosher to a child. Even if the child doesn't understand, the child wouldn't make a difference, that we're forbidden to give something that's not kosher. This doesn't apply, of course, in the case when a baby is screaming and crying, and the baby had meat before, and then if it's a little infant, or a little child, and the baby wants some milchigs. So then, of course, there's plenty of room to be lenient. But to begin with, an adult is forbidden, whether it's for something which is forbidden from the Torah or forbidden from the Chacham or Midrabanan, you cannot cause a child to violate any Isser, to go against anything of the Torah, or to go against anything of the Chacham. Therefore, you're not allowed to put something next to the child and have the child do that for you on Shabbos. You're not allowed to instruct the child to perform some sort of a melach on Shabbos. The great Svadish Apostle, the Kaf HaChaim, discusses the case of a child asking a gadol, a parent, or somebody else, is this act permitted or is it forbidden? And the Kaf HaChaim says that it's forbidden from the Torah for a parent to be dishonest and for a parent to say, it's okay, sweetheart, you can do that. It's forbidden. And even if it's a small child, the parent must make it clear to the child that it's Shabbos and that on Shabbos you're not allowed to do these things. Therefore, what comes out in halacha also, this was a very common thing. The post can bring down the case of a parent asking a child to carry a siddur or a chumash or a key to shul in a neighborhood where there's no Erev. Fortunately, we have a wonderful Erev over here, but in a neighborhood where you do not have an Erev, so the poskim are very strict about this. This seemed to have been common practice, that parents would have the children carry talesim or sidurim or keys and so on to shul, and that's something which is forbidden according to halacha. Nevertheless, the poskim say that if the child on his own took a siddur to shul, for the father, the child took a key, so the poskim say it's permitted to use that, the father is permitted to use the siddur, and you would be permitted to use the key. But you cannot have the child carry things for you in a place where there's no erev, just like you cannot have the child doing any malacha where there's no erev. There is, however, an exception. And this is something which is very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that means in the Rav, what's called the Rav Shulchan Aruch, which is the Shulchan Aruch of the Baal HaTanya, the Rav in his Shulchan Aruch says that we can be lenient to violate a Dirabanan, an Issa Dirabanan, I'll give you an example in a moment, to violate a Dirabanan by using a child if it's the case of a mitzvah, for the purpose of a mitzvah. Now, having a siddur wouldn't apply, especially if you have siddurim in the shul, that's not a mitzvah. But a classic example of when this was applied was with the Bris Karav. There was a case with the Bris Karav, Rav Elul Soloveitchik, that he instructed to send a child to go and bring a Sefer Torah where they did not have a Sefer Torah. And that was an Issa Drabbanan. It was forbidden me Drabbanan to carry in that area. It was not forbidden from the Torah in that area. It was forbidden from the Rabbanan. And Rav Velvel Soloveitchik said that because there's a mitzvah, A, the mitzvah is that the community should be able to read from the Sefer Torah on Shabbos, and B, it is not something which is prohibited from the Torah. So in the case of a mitzvah and it's not something forbidden from the Torah, it's something which is forbidden from the Rabbanan, in such a case, based upon the ruling of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, we can be lenient to have a child do that. But the Rav says to Shulchan Aruch, that is not on a regular basis. Because if you do that on a regular basis, then Shabbos will become something which is extremely unimportant in his eyes. Shabbos will become something unimportant in the child's eyes. It's only on a ad hoc basis. Sometimes if you need to do that, you're allowed to send a child for the sake of a mitzvah. So let's say people can't daven in the shul. Say the lights went out in the shul, or if it's a very hot day and the air conditioning is broken, and there are no Gentiles, there are no non-Jews that we could have take care of this. So then the poskim would allow, under the circumstances, since again, according to most poskim, turning on the thermostat would not be forbidden from the Torah, it's a drabbanan. And the mitzvah here is that the tzibur, that the community, should be able to daven. So poskim would allow us to instruct the child under those circumstances, and we would try to get one as little as possible, but to instruct the child to turn on the thermostat, or to do what he can to turn on the switch and so on. And that's why sometimes that would be done for the sake of a mitzvah only, not stam, for the sake of comfort in somebody's home or whatever, but for the sake of a mitzvah. There's a question that was raised by Reb Chaim Ozer, a very interesting question from the famous Reb Chaim Ozer in his Sefer Achiezer, the question of an animal that was suffering, a cow that was suffering because of having too much milk. And milking the cow on Shabbos is forbidden. So there's a discussion, I'm just giving you an interesting example, there was a discussion of, in order to prevent an animal from having that pain, which is Tzar Bali Chaim, you know, that the Torah commands us to see to it, to try to prevent animals from unnecessary suffering. So there's a discussion in the Achiezer, if the cow was experiencing Tzar, was suffering as a result of this need to be milked on Shabbos, so he discusses the question, and he was lenient, basing it upon many complicated things, that whether it was Drabon or Deraisa, he was lenient, but he said, again, that cannot be done on a regular basis. Only on a once in a while such a thing could take place, but not on a regular basis. You are, however, allowed to place things. You don't have to worry. According to Allah, let's say this, you don't have to clear the house of anything that a child might touch, that the child might do a malacha with. In other words, the Torah and the Chacham did not command us to see to it that there won't be a pen within any child's reach, or we don't have to go put, you know, electric or barbed wires over the switches to keep the children away. The Halacha simply instructs us to speak to the children, to teach them not to be Machal Shabbos, and if they are doing that, then to speak to them about it. And now, an interesting question that's related to this, but certainly different, and this is where we're going to end the first section of the discussion, is the question of an intercom with a baby in the room. With an intercom, this is something that's come up, and I've been asked this on a number of occasions. Nowadays, it's very common, Baruch Hashem, that we have these wonderful little machines that when we're nervous about the child's breathing or just simply to be able to hear the child, especially there's air conditioning on or something, to hear the child if the child cries during the night or there's something wrong. So we have the intercom. So the question that has often been asked, are you allowed to leave the intercom open from Erev Shabbos, from Friday, and leave the intercom on Shabbos, throughout Shabbos, so that if the child awakens and cries, you'll be able to come in to take care of the child. Now, this was already discussed in the Tshuvas of the Minchas Yitzchak, who was the great Rav of Yerushalayim, Rav Weiss, Olav HaShalom, and Rav Weiss was very concerned that this could possibly involve serious Isurim, serious problems, and therefore he ruled quite strictly. However, in other words, not to use this. However, one of the greatest poskim of our generation, who died a few years ago, I'm sure you heard of, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that it certainly is not forbidden from the Torah, but it could be an Issur Drabbanan, and under certain circumstances one could be lenient. Now, what is the problem here? What's the problem? After all, this was set before Shabbos. What is the problem? The problem is a din in the Shulchan Aruch that's found in Reish Nun Beis, in Simen Reish Nun Beis in Shulchan Aruch, where the Torah forbids us lechatchila to begin with. The Torah says, it's brought down in Halacha, the Chacham say that you're not allowed to put the chitim besocher rechaim shalmayim. They used to use these water mills. They were very, very noisy. So the question was brought up, it's from the Gemara, it's discussed in Shulchan Aruch, about taking the wheat and putting it into this mill, this water mill, before Shabbos. Now during Shabbos, this thing is going to, it's going to be making a lot of noise. So the question is, are you allowed to do that, to begin a process before Shabbos? It's going to continue during Shabbos, crushing the grain, making the flour. Are you allowed to do that? So the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because of Hashmoas Kol V'Avsha Milsa. Hashmoas Kol V'Avsha Milsa means that you're not allowed to set up a system, even if you set it up before Shabbos, if it's going to make noise on Shabbos, and people might think that you were disrespectful of Shabbos, or that even, God forbid, that you turned that on Shabbos. This, by the way, is the question of having a dishwasher go on right, setting dishwasher right before Shabbos, and it's continuing on Shabbos, or a washing machine, and so on. It's a very, very involved question halacha. But here, the problem is Avsha Milsa means that it's a zilzel for Shabbos. It's a disgrace of Shabbos if a person has his water mill bump, making noise, chomping up this stuff on Shabbos. And this is forbidden. And the only thing that the Ramah, that the Shulchan Aruch permits in that situation is, for instance, a grandfather clock. A clock, to set up a clock, it's permitted to set up a clock at Erev Shabbos, even though it's going to go, cuckoo, whatever it is, on Shabbos. You're allowed to set it up, even though the clock is going to, like in those old-fashioned clocks, that every hour on the hour, it's going to make that sound. You are allowed to do that. Why are you allowed to do that? Because the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah explains over there, that even though it makes a noise, everybody knows that you didn't set this on Shabbos. Everybody knows that this is set from before Shabbos. Therefore, we're not concerned, and the noise is only once an hour, and we're not concerned that this is going to be something that will be looked at as a disgrace of Shabbos. So based upon this, now I'm not saying Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach expressed concern that this would be Nisad Rabbanan, that perhaps that the intercom might be a problem. I'm just suggesting, and I still want to speak to some postcom about this, but I'm suggesting that, I mean, it seems to me that with an intercom, it should be no different than a clock. Nowadays, I think maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach might not have been shown the exact technology that we have. But nowadays, everybody knows that these little intercoms are set up from before and are sometimes left on. In our house, certainly, they were left on for days. We were counting cars. You could hear the car, on the machine. So if the way that this intercom is being used is that it's left on, and everybody knows nowadays that you don't go and turn them on and off in the room, but you might leave it on, but it's very common to leave it on before Shabbos, and that's one thing, and that's A. And B, there isn't a continuous noise. It's not like the water mill that's grinding away Shabbos, boom, ba boom, ba boom, like for hours. That's a disgrace of Shabbos. But with a baby, with a child, you don't expect that. You're hoping it's not going to make any sound. You're hoping it'll be a nice, quiet night. There's no continuous rattling. It might be from a car that's passing by, you'll hear something, but certainly that's not your intention. And the point is only that if the baby wakes up, that you should be able to hear the child. Therefore, I would consult with Poskim, but it seems to me that it shouldn't be a real problem. Condition number one is that when you go into the room, if you hear the baby is up and you go into the room, that you shouldn't start the coochie coochie coo and singing a lullaby or start to talk to the kid. Because that's already a problem. I mean, the intercom is on. Obviously, there's going to be some rustling and some noise, but you have no intention to do that, of course. But to start talking and to start actually speaking when it's going to come out of the intercom would certainly be a problem. That's number one. And number two, because after all, the Minchas Yitzchak was very strict, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was concerned about some problem, a possible Issa D'Rabbanan, that unless we're talking about a child that is very young, an infant, a very small one that can't really get up and scream and make his presence or her presence known. If a child's already old enough to give a good shrai, to let you, then unless there's some health problem, if there's a health problem, if God forbid there's been some worry and concern about irregularity of breathing, chalila, is there any concern like that, that there's something to be worried about with the child's, and therefore the parents have to keep always monitor to hear how the child's doing, there's no shaila you could use it. But if the child is healthy, then over 3 years old, to have an intercom set before Shabbos, I think, would certainly be a problem. But if it's a little one, and you're worried about the breathing, or something else, or you might not hear the baby crying, so then I think that perhaps it would be okay to set it before Shabbos. But I'm going to check, but I don't think that's a major problem, since it's no different than a clock. Everybody knows that these things are set But if you're going to use an intercom on Shabbos, then you certainly should use it in such a way, you know, regularly every night, and to leave it on a little bit also afterwards. And then I don't think there would be a problem to use that. That's the end of the first part of the discussion. So if you want to, any question about what we discussed so far, then I'll stop here. Yes.
You said you can't tell a child to put a light on without telling the small child next to the light. No, you can't, and although
you know, we've all been nichshol in that, we've all under extreme circumstances we've been nichshol in that. That perhaps one could be lenient in a case when I said letzorach mitzvah, for the sake of a mitzvah. Now if somebody is not well, let's say it's a problem that there's somebody that's not well in the house, or there's a mother that's expecting and the house is extremely hot and there isn't a non-Jew around, so then perhaps that certainly would fall into the category of a mitzvah. We don't tell that the family has to get up and go to some other house. That might be under the category of a mitzvah, in which case perhaps it would be permitted to have the child stay next to the air conditioner and to press the button. But you know, the joke that we had by one of our mishpacha years ago, the kid, when they had a television in the room, and the kid came into the room and turned on the television, and he says, no. Then he wanted to channel 7, because there was a game. You know, like, well, maybe if you're already doing it, if you don't mind, one more channel, please. So if it's for a mitzvah, Louise, if there's some mitzvah involved, now what's the definition of a mitzvah? If someone's not well, God forbid, if there's some, or would we classify hachnas as orchem? Let's say there were guests and there's a problem with no place for them, they can't see where they're going. Perhaps that's a drabana, but not to turn on a stove, for instance, turning on a fire. That's Cholent on Shabbos. Yeah, Cholent on Shabbos is a very, very important mitzvah, but it doesn't qualify if anything like this. No, I'm sorry. The poskim are lenient with that the food shouldn't be spoiled. You should be able to continue to eat on Shabbos if you can't find a non-Jew. But I don't know how physically you would do that. But that would fall into the category of a welcome mitzvah. In other words, it doesn't have to even be a mitzvah from the Torah. Onik Shabbos certainly. But the question of, you know, for the child, if there's other food to eat, then that wouldn't qualify. You know, you would like to have this food, but that really wouldn't qualify. If there was nothing to eat, then perhaps. But then. You know, we're not talking about a fire or anything like that, because a fire, of course, is forbidden from the Torah. That's not electricity. A crackpot is electricity, but a fire is forbidden from the Torah. Right? That's a halacha from the Torah. And even according to, as I said, the Chazon Ish, electricity could be from the Torah. Yeah, it's a very, very common thing. The problem with that is that when the mother is Makabelas Shabbos, when she accepts Shabbos, that really is Kabbalah Shabbos for the children in the house. There's an older child that's going to shul. We could talk about it. But in the house, the children are Makabel Shabbos together with the mother. And certainly in terms of the chinuch for the girls, that they should recognize that this is Kabbalah Shabbos, the lighting of the candles. That's not an ideal situation. It's not an ideal situation. Even if the child is less than chinuch, we learn that you're not supposed to tell a child to do something. If you have the child really well trained, you know, and the child goes around doing little things, and the child is less than the age of chinuch, so then, it's such a shame that you put, you know, that you turned off the light in the bathroom, and it's such a terrible thing. But if you have the child, if the child goes on her own or his own and does certain things, and it's a little one, so then we learn the halach is that you can let it go. But as far as telling a child to do something after the mother lights candles, it's already a problem. Good question. If the child is still very young, and you explain to the child that it's not the Kabbalah Shabbos, you know, maybe if it's a question of not having food Shabbos, or certainly the danger of the guests being on, that maybe you could be lenient. But it's certainly preferable to avoid these situations. But it's not 100% clear during that time period, if there is something like that happens, that there would be nothing to eat, and that the child is needed to turn on to turn the stove back on. Again, if it's on an irregular basis, if it happens a mold, you know, it happens once in a while, such a thing. No, as long as the child doesn't have, there's no erosion in the child's respect for Shabbos, that's the most important thing. And even during that 18-minute period, the child should know that when mommy lights candles, it's Shabbos. Okay, the correct thing to do with early Shabbos, according to most opinions, is let's say the davening is at 7. So the men are going to shul at 7. we calculate approximately when the men in shul are saying Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, when they're accepting Shabbos, which is a figure 7:25. Right, so by 7:25 nowadays, by 7:25, the woman should light candles if the husband's going at 7. It should not be a way of life. It should not be a habit or a way of life. They should know that when mommy lights, when they see that the candles are lit, that means it's Shabbos. That means it's Shabbos. That's the ideal situation. Although, understandably, you know, sometimes there's an emergency. So maybe that can be classified as a mitzvah. And certainly if it's a little child, an older child that understands already, a 9-year-old, 10-year-old girl, you can't. No, that you can't. After candlelighting, that's it. It's Shabbos. There are no leniencies. If it's a problem of the gas, and if there's some concern that it could be dangerous, the issue there is not. It's a muktzah, and it's not really a problem of a malacha, and there's a potential danger, and even an adult could do it with a shinui in a different way, to do it with some sort of a shinui, but to make it in a different way. Even an adult would be allowed to do that. Not to make a fire, to turn it off. Right, to turn it off. No, you can't turn on the fire.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, to turn it off. Even an adult could do that, but to do it in a little bit of a weird way. But nowadays, with all the clicking things, but that's a whole different subject. It's, you know, the electric, it's more complicated. Yes?
The boys are going to shul. They're not going to shul. They don't go to shul. They say we're boys and they're 18.
No, they should be told if they're boys, then they should go to shul. and if they want the extra 18 minutes, then go with Abba to shul. And if they're staying home, then when mommy lights, then Makabel Shabbos with mommy. And that's good. They should learn to be Makabel Shabbos with mommy sometimes also. That's fine. Okay? Let's go to the next part of our discussion. I know you're being so good. You're so tired. I'm sorry. I'm so boring to. A little bit more. Let's talk about one of the most delicious things: is taking care of a baby's body, right? Of a little baby, of a child on Shabbos and Yontif. And one of our favorite things is when they come out of the bath, right? The problem is on Shabbos and Yontif, the question of rechitza of washing, of bathing a child on Shabbos and on Yontif, what are the halachas? So the poskim are generally lenient on Yontif. If it's a little one, a little baby, and the mother is in the habit of giving the baby a bath every day. The typical infant will get bathed once a day. So the poskim say that if the mother is in the habit of giving the baby a bath every day, then she is permitted to bathe the baby on Yontif as well in hot water. The only issur is there is however an issur that you're not allowed to heat up the water specifically. For the sake of washing the baby. That would mean that according to halacha, if there is water that's being warmed up for some other purpose, so then you could add water to that and the water could be used for a baby's bath. But that problem that we find in Shulchan Aruch generally doesn't exist nowadays because of the boiler systems that we have. So on Yontif, since the water is being heated up, for the drinking, when you're using the drinking water and you have the hot water, again, unless there's some sort of a system that I'm not familiar with, generally you would be allowed to give a little baby that you normally bathe every day. I mean, once in a while you miss a day, but normally you bathe the child every day. You would be allowed to give the baby a bath on Yontif. That, however, of course, does not apply on Shabbos, even if it's a long Yontif and Shabbos combination. Shabbos, you are not allowed to. There is a way on Shabbos that water that was heated up from before Shabbos that was kept on the blech. And then if you take the water off the blech, I mean, this would be if a baby has a terrible, terrible rash. And let's say you want to put into a little plastic basin, let's say, to give the baby like a little bit on the tuchus. So you would be allowed to take water that was on the blech before Shabbos, take it off the blech until it's, you wouldn't want to put a baby into that anyway, until it sort of becomes just warmish, right? It's warm, it's not hot. It could be like warm, comfortable. And then you'd be able to put the baby just in, not the entire body, you can't give a baby a full body bath, but to put the baby's bottom into the warm water that was taken off the blech, you would be allowed to do. But it can't be water from the sink that you turn on the hot water, and certainly you can't put water onto a blech to heat up on Shabbos. If it was water that was there before Shabbos, you can take some water off and let it cool down a little bit and put it into a plastic and let the baby get comfortable by being in that little tub. It's preferable to give it 5 minutes to allow the water to to just on its own to cool off. To just put it someplace and allow it to cool off. That's okay. Now there are some regulations about when you are bathing the child. If you are bathing the child on Yontif, or well, it wouldn't apply on Shabbos with a hair. But on Yontif, if you're giving the child child a bath, you cannot give a shampoo. You can't start scrubbing and squeezing out the hair. And even if the child does get the hair wet and puts the hair in the water, the child is a child. Of course, that'll happen. But when you're drying the baby off, you shouldn't squeeze the hair. You should just sort of pat the head with a towel and just dry it like that. But not to give a good rub down on the hair, because that would be a problem of squeezing out. That would be the problem of squeezing the water out from the hair. Also, in terms of the towel, the Shulchan Aruch says, this is in Siman Shin Beis, in Shulchan Aruch, that you should not use a towel. It's an interesting thing. You should not use a towel that is a little bit dirty, because by doing that, by using a towel that's a little bit dirty, so there is another side problem. That if you, let's say, you're putting the baby on this towel that was already, that's a little bit dirty, was used a little bit, or you're wiping the baby's body down, so the poskim are concerned that if you're using a towel that was a little bit dirty, that you might be, and you're wiping down, you're using it for the bath, that you might be violating the prohibition of laundering on Shabbos, of cleaning the towel, since now you're getting it wet. It had a little bit, it was a little bit schmutzig, it was a little bit dirty, and now you're using it for the baby's bath, and there's water now, that could be a problem of laundering. So the poskim say that if you're going to give a baby a bath on Yontif, that you should use a clean, you should use a nice, clean, fresh towel. You shouldn't use a dirty towel. Not that any of you would ever do that, God forbid, of course. But if for some reason it happened, you should only use a clean towel. There shouldn't be any problem of kibbutz, of laundering. Taking care of the physical need of the child. Here we have a little bit of a different case. The halacha says that you are allowed. This also relates to the issue of using material with the baby. The question of a baby whose mouth or face is filthy, is dirty, is chocolate or some other dirt that has a dark color. So the poskim say you are allowed to wipe the child's face off with a smartut, with a shmata, where you're not makpid. It doesn't bother you if it gets dirty. Here's just the opposite. Why? Because in other words, it has to be something that you don't care. It's like an old dirty towel, davka. Why? Because here you're wiping off something like chocolate or something that might have color. So there's one of the forbidden melachas on Shabbos, as you all know, is tzoveya, coloring, right? Coloring something on Shabbos. Therefore, if it's a shmata that already has some dirt or some color on it, then you are allowed to use it to clean the child, even though it's going to get more schmutzig. The poskim are lenient. When it comes to using a disposable napkin, all the poskim are lenient. There's no problem at all. You can use a disposable napkin, or if you have pre-cut paper towels or things like that, you certainly can use that on Shabbos. There isn't a problem. In general, though, I wanted to tell you that there are poskim, such as the Avnei Nezer and a number of other Hasidic poskim, who are lenient that you could use any kind of towel that you want to clean the dirt off a baby, because they said that's not the way of coloring something. You don't intend, and that's not the way of coloring something. Your intention is just to clean off the kid. Therefore, if you don't have any towel except a clean towel, and you're going to wipe off the baby, and the towel, like a dish towel, is going to get chocolate on it, and otherwise was clean, the Avnei Nezer and other great poskim and the Rav Shulchan Aruch, they were lenient that you could use any kind of a towel. The best thing to use, which would make every posek happy, is a disposable napkin or a disposable towel. So you should be aware of that. You should be aware of that. To try to have something, you know, like shmatas that you could, to clean the children, that they shouldn't be spotless. Preferably, they shouldn't be clean shmatas. It should be something that already is a little bit dirty, to clean off the face and to get the color that they might have on them off. The next issue with the baby's body is using ointments or creams. Using ointments or creams. In general, you are not allowed to use, we'll talk about medical problems. We're not dealing with medical problems now. It should be soft. It should be nice. You should not use any kind of ointments or creams on the baby. If the infant has a rash, which has been known to happen with infants, if the baby has a rash, then you are allowed to take baby ointment, you're allowed to squeeze out baby ointment onto the infected area, but you shouldn't take your finger and smear it all over. That's a problem of mimareach, one of the prohibitions of Shabbos, of smearing. You shouldn't smear it all over. What you do is you take the tube of ointment, preferably a jar of one of these A&Ds or Desitin Balmex, right? Right. You take one of those. You take one of those and you just dip it and you put in a little. You put a little, or the Vaseline tube, and you squeeze out a little bit and you put it in different places, and then you close the diaper and the diaper closes and smears it all around. But you shouldn't take you shouldn't smear it around over the surface of the baby with your finger. That's as far as ointment is concerned, or cream. However, when it comes to powder, there's no problem at all, and you are allowed to throw the powder over the baby's body and to spread it over with your hands and so on. There's no problem with that at all. If you're concerned, like if you're going away, or even here maybe during the summer, if there's an insect repellent, you know, like if you're worried about the child getting bites and so on, so there's no problem at all. That's not a cream. I mean, those are liquids, you're allowed to put that on the child, so the child won't have any problem with insects. Another thing when it comes to taking care of the child's body is when it comes. This is also something which I have seen is extremely that there's a great deal of either ignorance in this area or a little bit of a reluctance to comply, and that's the area, especially with girls, but with boys as well, and that's combing or brushing the hair. According to the Torah, according to Halacha, it is forbidden to use a conventional brush or a comb on Shabbos. That's in Siman Shin Gimel in Shulchan Aruch. And according to the Poskim, that is forbidden from the Torah. It's an Issa D'Oraisa. It's not Midrabban, it's forbidden from the Torah to use a comb or a regular comb. I'll explain in a moment what I mean by regular. To use a comb or a brush on Shabbos or on Yontav, and they are muktzah. A comb and a brush cannot be moved on Shabbos. They are muktzah. That is the halacha. However, when I said conventional, what do I mean by that? If, however, you have a special brush that has soft bristles, not the hard ones that would pull out, that would most normally pull out hair. If you have a brush with soft bristles, and you are meyached that brush, you try to set it aside that this is a Shabbos brush, and this is what you use for the children for Shabbos, so then the poskim are lenient, and even then it should be done with care. There are people who want it to be lenient, that even if it's a hard brush, but if you just are sort of touching up the hair, you know, a little bit, it would be okay. The poskim are generally opposed to that. That was not accepted because these brushes, it's very difficult to be careful that when they have the harsh bristles that they are going to take out hair, and therefore they should not be used on Shabbos, and it should be understood that's an Issa D'Oraisa. It's forbidden from the Torah to use to brush a child's hair on Shabbos or Yontif. That's not some sort of an astringency, that's not Midrabbanan, it's Muktzah, and it's forbidden from the Torah. You are, however, allowed to gather with the hands, to part the hair, to gather on a girl, and to put in these little combs that they have. I don't know what you call them, you know, the little things that they have, scrunchies and little combs that go in to hold the hair. You are allowed to do that and to make the child's hair neat with a part, but that's only with the fingers and not with the brush, unless you have that soft brush and it's just making things orderly. But not to give a real brushing, to give a good brushing, you cannot do that. As far as braiding a girl's hair, as making braids in the girl's hair, that's forbidden on Shabbos. Creating a hairdo on Shabbos, according to, interestingly enough, and I don't want to go into the details of this, actually we're talking about that, our Rav and I were discussing the Chazal say that Chava was brought, that there were braids that were prepared in Chava's hair, but the Gemara in Shabbos explains that braiding a girl's hair on Shabbos would fall into the category of bone, which is building, which is a very interesting subject in halacha, which if we had time, we'll talk more about that. But that according to one opinion in the Gemara, there is a problem of building. It involves a possible prohibition from the Torah to make a hairdo. I don't know if that word is used anymore, but my mother always uses it. To make some sort of a hairdo, or to make braids, or things like that, or curling. In other words, to give you are allowed to just make your hair neat, but to do a whole fancy thing with it, and braiding the hair, or unbraiding the hair, also, you're not allowed to take out the braids of the hair on Shabbos, that could involve an issa d'oraisa. In neighborhoods like Bar Park, Williamsburg, Monroe, Muncie, then you have the little boys, or Baruch Hashem, a couple little boys in our neighborhood as well. So then you have the problem of if you want to make the nice, beautiful little payas curls, they don't just come out like that, by the way, the real curly ones. So the poskim was saying that you have to be careful. The little ones, those are set up with little curlers usually before. I don't know if you've ever seen how cute that looks. But they're set up with curlers, and the children have to be told that they can't go and start making it wet and making it fancy on Shabbos. And that's something that so could even apply to men, that they have to be careful. Nowadays, in general, the men are just, they're also busy with their hair, some men. So the ones who have the long payas, they shouldn't be curling and making these fancy, nice little things on Shabbos. That's a whole other question. Also, if in the mikveh, with the water, with the squeezing the hair, that's a separate child. I don't think I'm going to get into that right now. Just one more halacha in this area. Two tiny little halachas in this area. That's cutting the nails. I think that you understand that on Shabbos and Yontif, it's forbidden to cut the baby's nails. Now, the question, however, that is brought up in the poskim is if there's a nail that's sort of hanging and is causing the child discomfort, it's partially off. So here the halacha states that if the majority of the nail is dangling and it's uncomfortable for the child, that you would, and the child has tsar, you are allowed with your hands or with your teeth to remove the nail. You are not allowed to take a clipper, ever, a nail clipper. You would be allowed only with your fingers or with your mouth to take off the dangling nail, the hanging nail, but not with a clipper under, or a scissor under any circumstances. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that you have to be careful to try as much as possible to pull it off or to cut it with your nail in such a way that it shouldn't draw blood. That you shouldn't get it all the way into the skin. Well, no, that's a chokhmah how to do that. It's not so simple. Then one of then we're going to end this section with one of the biggest questions in halacha regarding the care of children, and that's baby wipes. Baby wipes is a huge debate on the subject of baby. You're amazed, in halacha, and it's always very interesting because when you first come across this, then you'll find these world famous poskim, and you'll read it in the sefer, and it says, and you're trying to see what does this mean in Hebrew, and it says baby wipes. It says baby wipes, and the question of baby wipes is they use some funny word in the English for them. They have some really funny word. I don't know what is in the when I saw it in the posik from Manchester, from Gateshead. He used in England they have some other funny word for it. But anyway, baby wipes. So are you allowed to use baby wipes on Shabbos? Now initially the two famous poskim were lenient. Were Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zechutzak Bevracha, and Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the Rebbe of Yerushalayim some years ago. They were lenient, and the Minchas Yitzchak, the Rebbe of Yerushalayim, and the Devar Yeshua of Ehrenberg from Tel Aviv, was also a great posig. They were strict. It obviously involves the question of squeezing out the liquid from the wipes, The poskim, however, nowadays, I saw in some recent svarim that came out, and again, I'll admit that the last baby or two, I haven't really taken much. I haven't been so involved with that inyan. I was when they were with the older ones, but lately I haven't been as involved with because we have older girls, Baruch Hashem, to do that. The poskim do say that nowadays they are not, they make the type that are not completely saturated as they used to be. They're not so liquidy as they used to be. When they first came out, apparently, they were dripping. In other words, you would take it out, and if you would squeeze a little bit, it would start to drip. There's a posek in a very chashuv posek in Williamsburg, Rav Harfinis, who says that nowadays they make wipes that have a moisture, but it's not like a dripping wet. And therefore, that would be, according to all opinions, permitted. And it's preferable to use a brand that is a little bit less moist, that does the job, but is not saturated with water. And the same thing, and if you don't have a wipe and you need to take care of it using a napkin, then the same thing would apply, to just make it ever so slightly wet and not to saturate it with water, because then you're involved in the problem of squeezing on Shabbos. So maybe nowadays with these wipes, one could be more lenient. Now, there were poskim who were lenient even with the ones who were very wet. I want you to know, there were great poskim who were lenient with any kind of wipes. And in our house in the beginning, we were using wipes. But there are some poskim who are strict with that. The question of diapers, there was and there still is some level of debate with diapers. I'm talking about the disposable diapers. There was some question about tearing open the tape thing on Shabbos. Therefore, some poskim said that the diapers should be prepared and should be opened before Shabbos. You know, you should take a couple of them or whatever you might usually need in one day, and open them before Shabbos. And I used to do that with the babies, and then they would all get stuck together, and then you just hold up one diaper, and you have this huge one long monster diaper. So we learned over the years to be more lenient in that area, based upon the poskim who permit the opening of diapers.
Now they have Velcro.
Now they have Velcro, and the diapers are, there's much less of a problem. Still, you know, you should be careful that sometimes, if you open up the diaper, then to close it, and you did some research, and it turns out that everything is status quo. So then to close the diaper up again could be a problem. So it's a disposable diaper. That means that if you open it, you should throw it out. You know, and if you want to check, then make an external type of check, as well as you know how to take care of that. If it's Velcro and it's not the sticky terry type, then it's not a problem at all. It's not a problem at all. Just like a shoe, you could open and close. It's not a problem at all. The only problem is when you have the sticky ones the tape. I never saw a Velcro one. That's been around for a while. No, that's the last. That happened to us though. It's terrific. When you're throwing out, that's okay. The post can say that's not for purposes of closing or fastening. It's just that it shouldn't. Well, but it's not. It's just that it shouldn't make a mess. Shouldn't make dirty. The post can be not strict with that. Yes, I know. If it's liquid, they have some lotion that's like that's liquidy. Then you should use. If it's not cream or not lotion, but if it's liquidy, then that would be fine. Huh? If it's a liquid, you could. Then you could move it around. You could do that. That's okay. But it's just a cream. You shouldn't a lotion.
Can you use water to remove, like chocolate from the base?
Yes. 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 Yeah. You could do that. You could put some water all around and take the cloth and wipe down the chocolate. Yes. It's the same thing. Tying and untying, braiding and unbraiding. If you take out the elastic and the child, like the baby, goes to sleep, there's no problem with that. Just taking out an elastic, you don't have to undo anything. That's okay. Clothing is the next. We're gonna have that. The next topic is clothing. Yes, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, a shekel is synthetic. Therefore, if you have that, a brush that you use for your shekel, that brush is not muksa. Yeah.
But in regards to giving a baby a bath on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, not
particular,
but I heard people ask a lot.
Shabbos not. Yom Tov, yes. And I would say that if it's a little infant and the lady is going to already give a shampoo, I also wouldn't have to say anything. But on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, you should not do that. Shabbos, you shouldn't do it. The non-Jew is not doing that for her own purposes. She's doing that expressly for you, for the family.
She enjoys doing it for
them. You know, Shabbos, you don't. Not Shabbos.
know a lot of people who do that.
Yes, it's not something, you are allowed to do that, but it's not something that should be done on a regular basis. If it comes up occasionally that, let's say, there's a simcha and you have to get the shul, you know, like these kind of things. So you would be allowed to light candles, and before you light candles, you should verbalize, not just think, you should verbalize that I am not accepting Shabbos with the lighting of my candles. You'll accept Shabbos when you get the Zman of Shabbos. You are allowed to do that on an irregular basis, not on a steady, you know, whatever that means. You can't do that every Shabbos, but you can do it once in a while without any problem whatsoever.
Even like let's say, like doing things in the house.
Yeah.
Like turn off the oven or something like that.
Yeah. If you see that things are getting crazy and you're not going to have time, you can light with it. You can light with it tonight. But you must be careful to stop doing malacha at least by the 2 or 3 minutes before the 18 minutes. So you shouldn't wait to the last second of the 18 minutes. That's very dangerous territory. That's dangerous territory. So give yourself an extra 2 or 3 minutes. But you can make a condition like that on an irregular basis.
How can you clean a child under the
circumstances?
How can you clean?
There are a couple of things. There are two things. One is the child. The other is all the other things that have come to contact with the child. As far as the carpet and the clothing, we're going to talk about that next time. What to do with the carpet? Well, clothing you just put in. But as far as the rug is concerned, or whatever other mess is being made. But as far as the child is concerned, I think that what you could do, as I said earlier, you could take water off the blech and pour it into a basin and let it reach a lukewarm temperature, and then put the baby in with your hands, clean the baby, clean not the hair, but to clean the baby off. You would be allowed to do that. And that's probably the preferable thing to do with a little one, if it's really a bad mess. But other than that, you just, I guess, use wipes, you know, all over. When we say infant, it usually means until 3. Oh. Which is pretty liberal. No. It's pretty liberal. It's pretty liberal. Yeah. You wouldn't leave a child like that alone in a bed. You know, that's still a little baby. It's still.